Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 16, Text 42. Vacham yacha mano yacha. Pranan yachendriyani cha. Atmanam atmana yacha. Nabhuya kalpase dhane. Vacham, speech. Yacha, control. Mana, the mind. Yacha, control. Pranan, your breathing. Yacha, control. Indriyani, senses. Cha, also. Atmanam, the intelligence. Atmana, by purified intelligence. Yacha, control. Na, never. Bhuya, again. Kalpase, you will fall. Advane, on the path of material existence. Translation, therefore, control your speaking, subdue the mind, conquer the life air, regulate the senses, and through purified intelligence, bring your rational faculties under control. In this way, you will never again fall onto the path of material existence. Please repeat. Therefore, control your speaking. Subdue the mind. Conquer the life air. Regulate the senses. And through purified intelligence, bring your rational faculties under control. In this way, you will never again fall onto the path of material existence. Purport, one should see all things as expansions of the Supreme Lord's potency, and thus with speech, mind, and words, one should offer respect to all things without minimizing any living entity or material object. Since everything belongs to the Lord, everything ultimately should be engaged in the Lord's service with great care. A self-realized devotee tolerates personal insult and does not become envious of any living entity, nor does he see anyone as his enemy. This is practical enlightenment. Although a pure devotee may criticize those who obstruct the Lord's mission, such criticism is never personally motivated, nor is it ever based on enviousness. An advanced devotee of the Lord may chastise his followers or criticize the demoniac, but only to carry out the mission of the Supreme Lord, and never out of personal enmity or enviousness. For one who completely gives up the material concept of life, there's no possibility of entering again onto the path of birth and death. Again, the translation, Lord Krishna speaking to Uddhava. Therefore, control your speaking, subdue the mind, conquer the life air, regulate the senses, and through purified intelligence, bring your rational faculties under control. In this way, you will never again fall onto the path of material existence. So how does one do that? How does one do it? What does that mean, surrendering to Krishna? Yes, by engaging practically one's mind, senses, one's body, mind, and words in the service of the Lord. It's like there's some nice verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam describing Ambarish Maharaj, Sabaimana Krishna Padaravindayor Vachansi Vaikunta Gunana Varnane Kurohir Mandira Marjana Dishu Shutim Chakarachata Sat Katodaye. Maharaj Ambarish engaged his mind in thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord. His speech in glorifying the Lord, and his hands in cleaning the temple of the Lord, and his ears in hearing about Krishna, or hearing the words spoken by Krishna. Mukunda Lingalaya Darshani Dushotad Brityagatra Sparsengi Sangaman Granam Chetat Patras Sarojasura Vesimat Tulasya Rasanam Tadarpite. He engaged his eyes to see the beautiful deities of the Lord. He engaged his body in his arms and body in embracing the devotees of the Lord, and his sense of smell to smell the flowers offered to the Lord, and his tongue to taste the tulsi leaves, prasad, offered to the Lord. Pado hare shetra padanu sharpane, shiro rishikesha padabhivandane, kamam chadasye natukama kamyaya, yadutama shloka janasriya rati. He engaged his legs in walking to the temple of the Lord, and or to the holy places of the Lord, and his head in bowing down before the Lord, and his desires to satisfy the desires of the Lord. And in this way he became a topmost devotee of the Lord, fully attached to Krishna. So this is a very nice example. In the Nectar of Devotion, it cites how there are 9 processes of devotion. It's quoting from, Prahlad Maharaj, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, the different processes. And it gives examples of different devotees who attain perfection by one or other of those processes, such as Prickett Maharaj, just by hearing about the Lord, or Sukadeva Goswami, just by glorifying the Lord, they attain perfection. But it is difficult for us to just focus on one of those aspects. We cannot just sit and hear Bhagavatam day and night, or chant Hare Krishna day and night. It is not recommended. The modern man is too restless. But the example of Maharaj Ambarish is practical. He simultaneously followed all the processes of devotional service. And we see Srila Prabhupada has organized ISKCON in such a way that there are varieties of activities. Let me see, Bhagavatam class, you can sit for an hour or so. Kirtan, you may perform like that for an hour or so, 45 minutes or whatever, at a time. Sometime we're worshipping the deity, sometime engaging in some practical service, associating with the devotees, cleaning the temple, doing the different duties that devotees have in the service of the Lord. So this is a very practical way to have variety of activity, but it's all connected to Krishna. So in this way one can keep one's thoughts, words and deeds engaged in the service of Krishna. As Krishna himself says in the Gita, the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered to me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from enlightening one another and conversing about me. So the nature of the soul is active. You cannot stop action even for a moment, Krishna says. So, but we do have a minute independence. How we're going to act, of course, we are controlled to a great extent by the previous karma, which has caused us to take birth in a particular body. Someone has a man's body, someone has a woman's body. So one is, you know, influenced greatly by, of course, people aren't trying to change their sex and so forth. But it's a futile attempt. They cannot, you know, maybe partially get, they can create some external, you know, illusion and, you know, feel themselves somewhat in that mentality of man or woman. But completely they can't succeed in doing that. So anyway, whatever, we are very much influenced by the particular type of body, which family we were brought up in, you know, what the other family members were like. They would have influenced us in so many ways. They may continue even to be influencing us. One has to adjust the behavior and activities accordingly. And then again, in a particular country, what's going on, you know, in that country is going to influence. Some country goes to war, people are going to be, isn't it, greatly influenced by that situation. Hard to avoid. Suddenly the government calls up all the young men. They have to go to the army or run away somewhere. So like that, there's so many factors which are, and then our age also, you know, at different stages of life, you know. One may be bodily, physically stronger or weaker, has to make adjustments. So many different factors are there. But at the same time, we do have a minute independence to decide how we're going to behave, how we'll use our energy. And of course, we're being strongly influenced by, you know, the flavor of the day, the fashions, the trends, isn't it? The television, whatever, the internet. So much propaganda trying to influence, do this, do that. But one has to himself then decide what is he going to do. And Krishna does analyze in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, what will be the result of acting in different ways. You know, someone acts predominantly in the mode of ignorance, he's going to get certain type of results. Someone's acting in the mode of passion, other type of result, mode of goodness, other type of result, like that. There may be mixtures, of course, of the modes as well. Just the Prabhupada said, as the colors are mixed, in blue, green, yellow, they can be mixed, produce what, green, orange, purple, etc. So our, you know, our choice is limited, but still the choice is there. And Krishna is explaining to us in the Gita what's the best choice here also. But what's the best choice? How best to use that minute independence? How best to use that energy that we have? The soul is a, you know, source of energy in the body. The soul has so much power, actually. But if a person, you know, allows himself to drift into the mode of ignorance, then that, you know, that natural beauty and effulgence and power of the soul, it becomes clouded and covered to a great degree. Because it's still there, but still a person can sink into a very negative state of consciousness and suffer intensely, or even in the mode of ignorance, hardly suffering is so dull, you know, consciousness may become so dull. Say someone is constantly taking painkiller, or strong, like heroin or some, you know, morphine or some very strong drug, or constantly drinking like that. So it becomes kind of dull and can, you know, hardly, you know, experience very much, just covered over someone's sleeping, you know, 15 hours a day or something, isn't it? So this is the natural effulgence and beauty of the soul. It becomes covered. The person becomes very cloudy and gray and sort of faded away. But still there, but in a kind of, you know, dreamlike state. So can hardly even sense that he's suffering. Someone is a more passionate, you know, agitated kind of person, constantly trying to, you know, control the material energy, and he'll get kicked a lot by the material energy. So, you know, he'll feel the suffering more. But he always thinks he can overcome it by some material arrangement, and using up a lot, burning up a lot of energy. But the actual, in pursuit of happiness, but the actual pleasure or happiness received is not proportionate to the endeavor. The suffering tends to be more proportionate to the endeavor. Then, of course, someone in the mode of goodness, he's more intelligent. You know, he's able to control his mind and his senses to some degree. And therefore, he's able to lead a more peaceful, happy sort of existence. But one can also become very conditioned by that mode of goodness, happiness, and be illusioned, you know, thinking that he could always be able to stay in that condition. But material life doesn't allow us to remain in permanently in any condition. We get driven out by the power of the material energy, which ultimately is under the control of the Lord, of course. So like that, there are varieties of situations, varieties of activities in the material world, and varieties of results. Krishna analyzes very extensively, you know, all, you know, austerities in the mode of goodness, passion, ignorance, charity and goodness, passion, ignorance, knowledge and goodness, passion, ignorance, etc., etc. But ultimately, he's advising us to rise above these modes of nature through doing nothing, as the Mayavadis or Brahmavadi impersonalists are preaching. No, because by doing nothing, you won't get anywhere either. And anyway, you'll be forced to act eventually due to the nature of the soul, the energy of the soul. You have forced to act in one way or another. So Krishna is teaching us how to act on the transcendental platform, how to act in devotional service. And therefore there are certain kinds of activities which are recommended. Those activities which have connection with Krishna, those activities through which we offer the results, fruits to Krishna. And that relieves one of karma. Activities in goodness, passion, and ignorance create karma. Different kinds of karma, but they create karma, and that keeps one bound up in a material world. So even acts in the mode of goodness, they create good karma and cause one to go to a higher position, higher planets. But it still keeps one bound in the material world. And the good karma runs out and he comes down. Then maybe he creates bad karma, he goes down and he keeps circulating through the different species of life in the material world. So Krishna is giving us the process by which to terminate this, you know, circulation in the cycle of birth and death. How to go to the spiritual world and reside there eternally. So in order to do that, one has to prepare his consciousness, one has to follow that process given by the Lord, and that process of bhakti yoga, because everything is connected to Krishna, that constantly, you know, reminds one of Krishna, increases one's attachment to Krishna, and simultaneously it doesn't create new karma, and it gradually destroys the effects of the previous karma. So a person becomes free from that bondage of karma, from the bondage of cycle of birth and death, and he's able to pass out from the material world and into the spiritual world. So this is Krishna's offer to us, Krishna's invitation, and Krishna's devotees, representatives, are also teaching us in more detail how to execute this process of devotional service. So here we see very nice recommendations in the verse and in the purport. In the verse, control your speaking, subdue the mind, conquer the life, regulate the senses. Through purified intelligence, bring your rational faculties under control. So that is to say, engage fully in devotional service. In this way, you'll never again fall onto the path of material existence. In the purport, we find how a devotee should be respectful to all, see everything in connection to Krishna, every person is part and parcel of Krishna, and every material object is also Krishna's energy. So there are different energies of Krishna, internal energy, external energy. So therefore one should be respectful to all persons and things, you know, especially those things connected to Krishna. Just like we see devotees, they won't put books, scriptures on the ground. The madanga, they won't kick the madanga, the cartel, you know, to put nicely, you see, placed in a nice stand, madanga stand, and the cartels will be placed on the shelf, or the books on the shelf, like that. Devotees touch the books to their head. You see in like Kirtan and in Bengal, Bangladesh, and they'll put sandalwood paste on the, you know, on the devotees. If you come somewhere, there's Kirtan, they welcome you, put sandalwood paste. They'll put sandalwood paste on the madanga, on the kartals, like that, on the book of Bhagavatam. So this is a tradition to offer, you know, respect to the, especially to the paraphernalia, which is, you know, persons and paraphernalia connected to the Lord. But all things and all living entities should be respected. Prabhupada said, a Vaishnava offers respect even to an ant. Amanina manadena, Lord Chaitanya said, that one is not expecting honor or respect for himself, but he's always ready to give that honor or respect to others. Very careful how he deals with others, very careful how he deals with, you know, everything, you know, anything, money, be careful how it's kept, counted, how it's spent, you know, because it's all Krishna's money. Or if we have motor car, you have to think, it's Krishna's car. So you have to keep it clean and change the oil, service it regularly. You see, sometimes, unfortunately, we see neglect in getting some cars very grubby, dirty, and devotees having not looking after nicely. That's not good. That should be taken care of very nicely. I remember we had in a library party in India, we had some vans, Mercedes vans, and Prabhupada said, always put plenty of oil in the engine, and said, then you have no problems. Make sure there's enough oil. And, don't put enough oil and it'll break the head gasket or something. I don't know all the details, but sometimes it happened to devotees.
neglectful like that, and
then costs a lot of money to fix, or can't even fix it. So we don't want to waste Krishna's money, Krishna's energy, to take care properly. Krishna's temple, keep clean always. And of course the deities have to be taken care of, especially nicely. So nice here in this Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir. Always nice standard of worship of the deities. It's very inspiring for the devotees and of course pleasing to Krishna. So in this way we have to respect the Lord, the Lord's devotees, and everything that is connected to Krishna, all Krishna's energy, use it nicely in the service of the Lord. And this way, keep one's thoughts, words, and deeds always fully engaged in Krishna's service, then one will not fall again onto the path of material existence. He will not take birth again in the material world. So this is the idea which is being taught in Bhagavad Gita, in Srimad Bhagavatam, by our acharyas, and Prabhupada showed us practically how we can apply that in the modern world. So intelligent person will follow this instruction seriously and encourage others to follow also by his words and example. So, Hare Krishna. Thank you. Any question, any comment?
One comment, Maharaj. And you said, Krishna teacher, Ram teacher. We have to think of Krishna all the time. So, Prabhupada has given us the best method to get out of the material world. A, B, C, D. Association of devotees, reading the books, C, chanting the devotional skills. So, he has put everything in such a good nutshell and most authentic process of how to get out of the material world, chanting the devotees.
Thank you.
We should be most grateful.
ABC, huh? Association, books, chanting, then? ABC. Huh? Devotion, the devotional service. Okay. Hare Krishna.
He has translated Bhagavatam so nicely, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He was sleeping only 2 or 3 hours every night, all when he took sattva. And he said yesterday also, consulting all the various commentaries from the acharyas.
Yeah, I was looking at the video of Prabhupada last night in Vrindavan in 1977, and he was very, very ill. And it was like very hot summertime, and they, up on the roof of his house there's a balcony, and they had put a mosquito net, and Prabhupada was sitting inside translating, you know, all night.
Extremely difficult.
Just completely absorbed in, he had the book, he was consulting, he was dictating, and meditating on Krishna, and giving a transcendental knowledge for the benefit of the whole world. Amazing. Even though, he was so sick, he couldn't walk, he had to be carried here and there. No, it's the consciousness and attitude. No. I mean, even if a person has a lot of energy, works very hard, he can be on a transcendental platform. It doesn't mean that he is necessarily in the mode of passion. Symptom of a devotee who is very influenced by passion, he'll become proud, or especially He may want to use a devotional service to become powerful and famous or wealthy like that. And influenced by motive ignorance, he may become envious of other devotees or angry with other devotees. And those are the, you know, that it's more attitude, consciousness. For right attitude is to, you know, be respectful to devotees and careful with everything connected to Krishna. With everything, careful in the dealings, and maybe work very hard. That's all right. Prabhupada himself worked very hard. Encouraged devotees to work hard, but in the mood of, you know, doing everything for Krishna, especially in the mood of bhakti, devotion to Krishna. He didn't what?
He didn't read or study the scripture. Really know many verses. And then everyone thought, well, is he passionate? Is he whatever? But he was finally engaged.
Yeah. He worked very hard, of course. Of course, once he did get a little proud, didn't it? When they were building the bridge to Lanka, and some spider was pushing sand, and Hanuman was throwing big rocks. And he said, "Move out of the way, I'm doing, you know, important service here for Lord Ram." Lord Ram chastised him, and this spider also serving me, you know, helping to build a bridge, pushing small grains of sand is according to his capacity. So don't become, you know, don't become proud just because you're big and strong. But, you know, in general, of course, Hanuman is a great servitor of the Lord. Always used his energies in the service of the Lord. But it is not that he's not learned, although he may appear in that particular Leela, you know, like a monkey, doesn't seem so learned, but he's also appeared as Madhavacharya, isn't it? Madhavacharya, highly learned. Acharya in our Sampradaya. So, actually, he is very learned. The most learned. And the culmination of learning, after all, is to be fully surrendered to the Lord. That story is there of the Brahman in the Srirangam who couldn't read very well, and others were making fun of him, can't pronounce the Sanskrit properly, but still he was trying to read Bhagavad Gita every day. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu noticed him and saw him crying. He said, "Why are you crying?" He said, "When I think of Krishna and Arjuna in the chariot, tears come to my eyes." He said, "And my spiritual master told me to read Bhagavad Gita every day, but I cannot pronounce the words properly, but still I'm trying." Lord Chaitanya embraced him. He said, "You have understood the real meaning of the Bhagavad Gita." He was simply surrendered to execute the order of his spiritual master as best as possible, trying his best, and he was developing bhakti, love, real love for Krishna. Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with him. So not a matter of, you know, great scholarship, it's a matter of ultimately being surrendered to engaging fully in the service of the Lord as directed by one's authorities. Servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. So it may appear someone is not so learned, just, you know, works hard, but if he's absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna and serving, then he can attain perfection. But Prabhupada wanted also, if possible, devotees should study the books. And know the books as well. So as you say, A, B, C, D, association, books, chanting, and devotional service. Be busy in devotional service. And thus you will get E, ecstasy. Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samavita Bhaktivinoda ki, Gaur Premanandi.